Yeah. Okay. Sabbath blessings, everybody. Please kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with another Sabbath day. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for keeping us safe in these last days. Give us the faith that we need to stand firm in the days ahead. Soon it'll be pretty intense, as it is in the Gulf Coast with some of the folks down there. Pray you give them strength as well to deal with what they're dealing with. Let them see your hand in blessing them. We thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things that you do. Your ways are not our ways, and sometimes we just don't understand. But we know that you're there to protect us when the enemy attacks. So keep those people safe. Keep us safe. Bless us as we go into your word. Bless us as we go into Sister White's writings. Give us divine wisdom and understanding. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that I speak, so that only you are glorified. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing the ministry and the movement and all those that help it in the ways that you promised to help them in Scripture. Bless their tithings. Bless their love offerings. Bless everything that they do, especially in these times now when the enemy's attacking finances on everyone. We thank you for all these things, Father, because you truly are a loving and heavenly Father that takes care of your children. Thank you for teaching us the way you did Israel during the 40 years. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep Dennis Schroeder in prayer. He's been trying to get into the room for the last half hour. I was removing things. Some of you may notice when you came into the room, if you left and you came in, it all of a sudden changed to color blue. I'm going back to the basics on the room to try to get... I don't understand what's going on. He can't get in this room, but he can get in Bible Activities room or Daniel Revelation room. I was having the same problem the other day when I wiped my computer, and it turned out I didn't have Flash installed on my computer. And this room used to have a Flash animation in it. Now it doesn't. Because if some people don't have Flash, it'll just give them an error. And I didn't even know that the Flash animation was there. I don't know if you guys remember last convocation. In the bottom where it says Presence of God Ministry, I had it like floating in and out, and it was doing all these different, you know, it was fading in and out saying, welcome to the convocation, and it would come back with Presence of God Ministry and so on and so forth. Well, that animation was still running in the room, but no one could see it because I just dragged it down to the bottom and put the normal one in there. Now, it's just a straight graphic. There is no animations or nothing. But still, he can't get in, so please keep it in your prayers that he can get in. Before we get into the last day events, I want to share some things from Sister White in regards to what's going on in Louisiana. I'm not going to predict this or predict that or say it's the Lord doing it, chastising them. I mean, there is means for chastisement or judgment, whatever way you want to call it. The Lord chastises his people, but he judges the wicked. And as we discussed so many times in here with in regards to giving the devil permission to be in our lives, we've discussed how we talked with our children and asked them, do you have any video games that you haven't told mom and dad about in the house? If you do, get them out of the house. We're not going to punish you. Just, we want to know right now if they're in the house. If they are, get them out. Destroy them. The video games where it's killing and carnage and stuff like that. Or is there any R-rated movies in the house? Are there any books in the house that shouldn't be in the house? Are there any drugs or alcohol in the house? Stuff like, even cigarettes. If there's things in the house that are evil, you're giving the devil permission to be there. So, do we need to see the devil having full reign and full permission to be in New Orleans? Yes. Well, if he's got full permission to be there, then he's got full permission to do what he wants. So, with that said, from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 302, it says this. Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another, as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world has shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would do. He will withdraw his blessing from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control over all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations and fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms and tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes. In every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws of God, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. That's Isaiah 24, verses 4 and 5, of course. Some will be tempted to receive these wonders as from God. The sick will be healed before us. Miracles will be performed in our sight. Are we prepared for the trial which awaits us when the lying wonders of Satan shall be more fully exhibited? Will not many be ensnared and taken? By departing from the plain precepts and commandments of God and giving heed to fables, the minds of many are preparing to receive these lying wonders. We must all now seek to arm ourselves for the contest in which we must soon engage. Faith in God's word, prayerfully studied and practically applied, will be our shield from Satan's power and will bring us off conquerors through the blood of Christ. A lot of folks, I've run into a lot of people in my ministry that when the going gets rough, they go into their Bibles. But when there's fair weather, they walk away from the Lord. I've seen many people do that. When everything is really rough and disastrous in their life, and there's all these problems, everything from health to finances, they go into the Scriptures. And when they dig deep and the Lord starts to bless them, and here and there and everywhere, they forget him for some reason. The Lord is not like some people look at some people on earth as fair weather friends. Well, the Lord's not the exact opposite, where he's just a lousy weather friend. He's a good and lousy weather friend. He's there for both seasons, good and bad. He's there for all. It's like when you're walking with the Lord and you're blessed and everything's going well, that's the best time to get as close as you can to him. Some of you have shown concern for Bam Bam, who lives in Louisiana. Well, I got an email from him the other day. He says, "Hey Nick, I guess you already have heard the devastation over where I am in New Orleans. It's a horrible sight, Nick. Knowing that I have no place to go, I am here in Carlisle, Arkansas. A family has took us in, all 14 of us. We have been running since yesterday, or since Sunday. We are okay. I probably can go on talking, but if there is any help at all from any of the remnant, please, please help. I've been trying to stay strong, and the Lord is doing tremendous work." And that's it. That's where he ends it. A couple days later, he sends me another email. I asked him, "What kind of help do you need?" He hasn't answered me yet, because the next email he sent me was from a different location saying that family in Arkansas just didn't work out, which means he's back on the run. He's in a motel now, all 14 of them. So keep him in your prayers. Sister White says in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 694, all earthly powers are under the control of the Infinite One. To the mightiest ruler, to the most cruel oppressor, he says, hitherto shall thou come, but no further. That's Job 38:11. God's power is constantly exercised to counteract the agency of evil. He is ever at work among men, not for their destruction, but for their correction and preservation. So a lot of times, even though the devil's got permission to do these things, some Christians will come out smelling like roses. They'll be blessed even more so with this, with these kind of trials and tribulations. So it is a difficult time, and what we're seeing in Louisiana and Mississippi and wherever else it's happening is kind of a strange thing too, with the way our government is reacting. FEMA, I don't think, dropped the ball. I just don't think they picked it up. If we can somehow get an elephant moving things in a tsunami within one day and have money there within 2-3 days and food and everything that they needed within a couple days, why is it 4 days? Well, now it's like a little over a week now, but or a week, I don't know how, it was like on the 29th it hit. But why is it, I see this video the other day where the people are saying, look, this happened 4 days ago and still no relief, no food, no water, nothing. People are dying in the streets. Old people especially, because there's from exposure to the elements. 90-degree weather on top of everything. And then you got 4 days later, what, you know, you also have, it's going to be an extremely foul odor everywhere because there's dead bodies that have been dead for 4 days everywhere, floating around or just laying around the side of the road. It's getting downright crazy over there. But you know what I noticed? The news was there with their cameras. And the National Guard was there with their guns. If they can bring in a 10 or 15 pound M16, why couldn't they bring in about 10 or 20 loaves of bread? Or 1 or 2 gallons of water? So it looks like something's up. It looks like they may be wanting anarchy to occur so that they can figure out how best to handle it, because they are planning on doing national anarchy in some way. We know they have to enforce the mark of the beast. How they're going to do it, they have to figure out. Well, there might be anarchy if they, you know, if people don't like what the government's doing. So we have to test our abilities to handle if the people revolt against what we plan. Could this be a test? Are they taking advantage of what happened with Katrina? I don't know. It seems obvious. The most powerful nation on earth can't seem to feed their own people in a disaster. We've got helicopters. We were flying overhead taking videos. Why couldn't we do like Rick was talking about this last night from Canada, or even Rick from Florida would know about this, because he was in the armed forces as well. When our guys were in Vietnam or wherever and they needed food and supplies, what did our guys do? You know, what did our country do? They would drop food and supplies and crates with parachutes on them. Why can't they do that in Louisiana? Oh, it's too hard to get in there. Well, then fly overhead and drop something. But no. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. That's all I wanted to share. I don't want to get into any strange comments. I just, you know, I want you to keep in mind what day we're living in. The devil's going to be doing this more and more and more. You know, there's going to be a lot more opportunities for the devil to glorify his power. But greater is he who was in me than he who was in the world. So, your prayers have been answered. Bam Bam is safe, and his entire family is safe. The last email I sent him was 3 days ago, asking him, what do you need? Is your home still there, or is it just a tile floor like some of the houses that we saw that were wiped out completely? I don't know where in Louisiana this man lives, so I you know, I can't judge by this. I don't know if his house is underwater or on the edge of all this problem, you know. So keep him in your prayers. He's one of our brothers, and I'm sure his faith is shining in a major way to his loved ones. Hopefully, they're being blessed by seeing how he reacts. And keep in mind, folks, there's no power, electricity, or anything down there, so they don't even know what we're seeing on TV. They don't know how far and how wide this devastation is. They just look in their own neighborhoods. As far as they can walk. They don't realize. Could you imagine some of the people deciding, oh, I'm going to go as far as I can to get away from this, and they start walking. They could be walking for days and still be in it and not realize how wide that devastation is. So keep them in your prayers. All right, we're still in manuscript well, we're still in last day events. We're on page 35 for those of you that have the book. For those of you that don't, it should be popping up in the room any moment now. Did you hit F3? You weren't in the room. You're going to have to hit it again. Okay. And then we're on, we're still in chapter 4. And we're on manuscript 133, October 30th, 1902. Says this, the Lord will cut his work. Oh, by the way, before I start, I'm probably, read those, pop those PMs forward for a second here. I think I'm being reminded of something. Okay, will do, Rick. We'll mention, keep Rick's mother in prayer. She's in failing health. She's in the hospital right now. Rick from Florida, that is, everybody. Please keep her in prayer. Let her see the Lord's hand in this. Okay, and then Rick from Canada is reminding me of something I asked him to remind me of last night. Before we start, okay, go back to the regular room. It's been mentioned a couple of times and has been brought to my attention more than once. We discussed this last night in the room, and I'd like to just say a few comments in regards to it now. We've been having a problem on Sabbath day. I don't know if anybody notices that people that long-termers that have been here for a while, we used to have, we used to average 35 to 40 people in here, or families, on Sabbath. Some of them have stopped coming, not because they have walked away from the message we preach, but because they don't want to be in this chat room on Sabbath day, they say. Okay? There are some people that have said that. Reason being is, during the study and during the sermon, there's way too much goofing around going on in the text chat. Now, we don't mind you using the text chat. I mean, we could shut off the text chat completely, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do like Pell Talk Police, you know. I don't think that's right because some people are going to have questions during a sermon or comments or want to put a verse in the room that confirms what's being said from the pulpit. And so I don't want to shut the chat off, you know. I don't want to shut off the text chat because we can do it, you know. We can shut off the text or we can shut off the audio all at the same time. It's just a click of a button. But I don't want to do that. So please, keep the text chat down to an extreme minimum during the church service. It's offending people. I'm not going to say who's doing it. I don't know who's doing it because I'm nowhere near the computer. You know, I'm over here by the pulpit. My son's over there, you know, manning the computer. So just please, and if someone starts up that's new to the room and doesn't realize about the rules and regs of a church service, don't rebuke them openly in the room. It's just going to start a war. Send them a private message. Let them know, look, during the Bible study or during the Sabbath study and during the church service, there will be no chatting about what happened in your week or you got a flat tire on the way to work, or whatever. There's not going to be any conversations in the chat room during a regular church service. We got to handle this like a regular church service. But afterwards, when the church service is over, the fellowship, well then, you know, do what you regularly do after a church service with the fellowship. Have conversations, okay? Just like normal. And the joking and stuff like that, of course, we don't do that on Sabbath. We discussed that a couple of months ago, maybe a month ago. But thank you. I'll if I remember, if I don't, Rick will remind me to bring this up again when the church service starts. Because we have more people that arrive around the time for church. So, anyway, so thank you for, curtailing the text chat to some extent so that people can be blessed without being distracted. Because I know how it is. When I used to do the Fire Talk, the Yahoo, and the Pell Talk thing years ago, when I would start preaching, I would immediately turn off the text chat because I was sitting in front of the front of the computer at the time. And I got to tell you, it is really difficult to preach a message or even listen to somebody preaching while that text chat is flying by, you know? You know, it's no big deal if it's a question about the sermon or something that's being said from the pulpit that you miss. Ask a question. Somebody in the room will say, well, he said this or he said that. Or if you got a Bible verse, well, that will confirm what's being said. Fine. But just regular, everyday, run-of-the-mill conversation and joking around, no, please. We have to stop this. It is offending people. And I can understand. It's going to offend people. So, anyway, getting back. Manuscript 133, October 30th, 1902, says, "The Lord will cut his work short in righteousness. The earth is corrupt under the inhabitants thereof. Disease of every kind is now afflicting the human family. The misery created by the corruption that is in the world through lust," and that's not just sexual lust, you got lust for food. I mean, you got people that just, it's amazing how food entices people. But then, you know, all of us can understand that. That's one of the reasons, well, that is the reason Jesus Christ, the very first thing he did when he stepped out of the River Jordan was to fast for 40 days, to put the flesh in its place. You know, it's been written many times by many scholars, you know, Bible scholars that are trustworthy, I'm saying, not the ones that you see in the world, as well as, I believe Sister White even mentioned it a couple of times, and it does talk about this in Scripture, that if you can master your appetite, the rest of sins in life are going to be a lot easier to handle. You know, the rest of the things that the devil can throw your way are going to be a lot easier to handle. I mean, take for example Esau selling his birthright for a morsel, for a mere morsel. People do the same thing. Lust has a, you know, it's amazing. Every you know, and some people will go straight to hell in a handbasket for a lousy 15 minutes of passion, you know, with a sex thing on that end of the rainbow. So, you know, you got lust will attack it any way it can. The devil will use it any way he can. So continuing, it says, where did I leave off here? All right, well, I'll just start over here. Okay, the earth is corrupt and our inhabitants thereof. Disease of every kind is now afflicting the human family. The misery created by the corruption that is in the world through lust is developing in a startling manner in the commission of crime of every description. Robbery, murder, sensuality, and cruelty of satanic powers. These and many other evils are seen on every hand. We are surrounded by unseen dangers. I am instructed to say that if meat eating ever was safe, it is not safe now. And she said this over 100 years ago. A lot of people say, oh, well, the cows have been cleansed. You know, the Deuteronomy 14 or Leviticus 11 says it's okay to eat cows and this and that and everything. Yeah, well, if she says it was unhealthy then because of what they were doing with the animals and how they were putting the animals under certain stress, certain things that are going to cause problems for the animals, which... if it causes problems for the animals, it's going to cause problems for their flesh that you're eating. Look at today, with all the drugs that they pump into the cows, and the Federal Drug Administration allows for them to sell people, you know, for human consumption, cancerous meats. It used to be if the cow had cancer, it would be slaughtered and sent to a rendering plant to be fed to your dogs in dog food. Now. And then years later, they started to say, okay, we'll just cut the lesion out and then get rid of it, you know. Get rid of the lesions, like the big tumors that are sticking out of the side of the cow. After they kill the cow, they just cut out those lesions and then take care, you know, they would manufacture the rest of the meat, even though it's just riddled with poisonous, you know, cancerous cells all throughout. And now they're actually using the cancerous lesions, putting them together with, like, when they do sausages and stuff like that, they just mix all that scrap meat. And some of the weird sausages, they'll put it, they don't care now. They just don't. They say it's an acceptable loss if a couple of people get sick. Plus, with the AMA, making sure they're trying to get as many people as they can sick because they want customers. So, she says back over 100 years ago, I am instructed to say that if meat eating ever was safe, it is not safe now. Diseased animals are taken to the large cities and to the villages and sold for food. Such a diet contaminates the blood and stimulates the lower passions. Science has already proven that. It goes to the frontal lobe of your brain where you've got these three areas. I can't remember exactly what they were. I discussed them on my health page where you got sexual drive, where you make your decisions, and your anger and whatever. It's all in the base, like the frontal lobe of the brain. The back part of the brain is where we should be thinking. But when you have a strange diet, everything starts to go to the front part of the brain, and that's why you have these strange... you know, lusts and things, and you have you're using the wrong part of the brain, because the brain will shift its ability to think by the diet. But I go into a lot more detail on the health page. I can't remember exactly what those three stages. It was anger, appetite, and sexuality, I think it was, that were in the frontal lobe. And that's what's, and with a strange diet being given, those are the three areas that are glorified or enticed by a strange diet. Whereas a good, healthy diet throws it into the back of the brain. That frontal lobe is supposed to be used in certain specific situations, and that's it. It's not supposed to be used 24/7. And that's, people are driven by it now. They're driven by the frontal lobe. Continuing, it says, to parents who are living in the cities, the Lord is sending the warning cry. Gather your children into your own houses. Gather them away from those who are disregarding the commandments of God, who are teaching and practicing evil. Get out of the cities as fast as possible. I don't know how many times we have said this over the last few months going through this, these things. And fast as possible doesn't mean, you know, when you get the opportunity. Make plans now. Start now. Start looking now. You'll be surprised how the Lord will bless you. I remember when we, this was quite a while ago, like 15 years ago, I had backslidden for about 18 months and I had rededicated my life. I came back to the Lord and he wanted me out of this particular business. And in the time, we ended up losing everything. We lost our home, our cars, the business, everything. And ended up living in this two-bedroom kitchenette. And the whole time we were there, we were trying to look for a place to live and we couldn't find a place up in the city. Just, you know, landlords kept saying, yeah, you can live there. And then all of a sudden they would pull the rug out. And it was like clockwork. It was like 2 or 3 days after we gave them the money, they would call us back and say, look, we've changed our mind. We don't want you living in our house. And their excuse was always you had too many kids or something. And some of these houses had 4 bedrooms. And we couldn't understand what was going on. And then it was revealed to go 2 hours away from the city and look in these little towns and way far away from the city. And the first house we looked at, we got. And we didn't even have the money. The guy took $50 from us. There was another guy standing next to me that was flashing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars in the guy's face, and he decided to take my $50 deposit rather than take the entire rent from the other guy. And we got the house. Instantly. We were out of the city. The Lord opened the door, and then he closed the other ones. He made it to, it could be what's going on with Bam Bam, too. The Lord says, look, he wasn't kidding. Get out of the city. Sometimes people have to be pulled out like Lot was. Are you going to wait until you got Katrina banging on your back door? Get out of the city now while you have things to come out with. I mean, it would be nice to go to a nice farmhouse away from the city with all little bells and whistles and creature comforts you have now. Or would you like to do it with the clothes on your back? If you are a child of God, he is going to pull you out of the city like he did Lot and his family. How much time do they have to pack? They didn't take the hint. They didn't get the hint. They didn't even pray before they went into that city when, you know, Abraham and Lot split and says, well, I'll take this one. He didn't pray in advance, if you notice. Lot didn't ask the Lord's will in regards to putting his family so close to a place like that. So, anyway, continuing, or actually finishing up, you know, we're only going to be able to get through this one today. Parents can secure small homes in the country with land for cultivation, where they can have orchards and where they can raise vegetables and small fruits to take the place of flesh meat. Flesh, not fresh, flesh meat, which is so corrupting to the lifeblood coursing through the veins. God will help his people to find such homes outside the cities. She's not kidding. We can validate this firsthand. We can show you firsthand how this is true. You have seen it with our own eyes. It was amazing. I am not kidding you. We must have had, how many, Fran? And there must have been like 10 or 15 different landlords we went through in those 3 years, right? It was quite a few. We actually got to the point where we stopped telling the kids, look, we found a place to live. Because every time we found a place, they got all excited and happy. And all of a sudden, the landlord pulled the rug out, so all the kids are crying all of a sudden. Because we were living in a two-bedroom kitchenette. All 10 of us. That went on for 1,011 days. So I praise the Lord. He got us out of that. But it damaged some of our children, though, because they were affected by some of their friends out there. You know, to this day, some of the kids are having a hard time with that because of the way they their friends are. I mean, come on. Seriously, folks, do you think the devil is going to send a Satanist, or a maggot dripping, rotted flesh looking demon to hang around with you, to be your best friend. No, your best friend is going to be used by Satan to pull you away from the truth. Okay, we'll be back in a minute or two. I just got to get something to drink and then we'll continue. Be right back.